Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. Thank you for joining us today. This message is for the week of October 15th, 2023. It's entitled Life's Deadly Follies, Greed. One of the texts we're looking at is Proverbs chapter 11, 24 to 28. Call to worship is taken from Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 to 11, and then verse 7. Would any of you give your hungry child a stone if the child asked for some bread? Would you give your child a snake if the child asked for a fish? As bad as you are, you still know how to give good gifts to your children. But your heavenly Father is even more ready to give good things to people who ask. Ask and you will receive. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. Amen. We are continuing our look at the book of Proverbs with a study of life's deadly follies, otherwise known as the seven deadly sins. These are sins of the mind and attitude. Though we may try to hide them, they influence our actions, infect our relationships, and unless abandoned, will sever our walk with God. Today we are looking at greed. How do you define greed? The Concise Oxford Dictionary defines greed as intense and selfish desire for wealth, power, or money. Now, greed is easy for us to identify in other people. They're wealthy. They're stingy. They don't help anyone. Yet, as tempting as it may be to correct other people, that is not our job, nor is it what we will be held accountable for. Rather, God will ask each of us what we did with what he gave us. Now, I suppose we could get this message over with quickly if we would all agree that since none of us here are among the mega rich, we couldn't possibly have a problem with greed. However, we first should get a biblical understanding of what greed is. Is it only about money and a problem just for the wealthy? Or something that we all need to be wary of? Greed can infect us in subtle ways, like the farmer who said, "I'm not greedy. All I want is the land next to mine." It seems simple, but there's always the next field and the next field. King Solomon, who wrote much of the book of Proverbs, also wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, where he addresses the futility of craving money. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 10 to 12 in the New Living Translation says, "Those who love money will never have enough. How meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness. The more you have, the more people come to help you spend it. So what good is wealth? Except perhaps to watch it slip through your fingers. People who work hard sleep well, whether they eat little or much, but the rich seldom get a good night's sleep." Ecclesiastes 5, 10 to 12. We can clearly see the folly of giving our lives to get something which can so easily slip through our finger. What is greed? And why does God hate it so much? Wait a minute. Does God really hate greed? That would make it serious, wouldn't it? Does God hate greed? Listen to Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Listen to the company it's found in. "You must put to death, then, the earthly desires at work in you, such as sexual immorality, indecency, lust, evil passions, and greed. For greed is a form of idolatry." We know what God thinks of idolatry. The Apostle Paul describes greed, and another word the Bible uses for it is covet, as idolatry, giving your devotion to something other than God. This is why Pastor John Piper defines greed as desiring something so much you lose your contentment in God. Desiring something so much you lose your contentment in God. So greed is not just about having a lot of money or stuff, but believing that having these things will make you happy, will fulfill you, will fill the longing in your heart. It's as if you're saying, I need God plus my stuff. And maybe some of that stuff over there and that stuff there would be great too. Yet Ephesians 5 warns us. Ephesians 5:5 in the New Living Translation says, you can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Why is greed so foolish and dangerous that it disqualifies someone from the kingdom of heaven? First of all, greed is foolish because money does not last. Greed is foolish because money doesn't last. Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5 from the NIV says, do not wear yourselves out to get rich. Do not trust your own cleverness. Cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone. For they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. In Jesus' parable of the lost son, we can imagine that the youngest son dreamt of all the things he could do with his inheritance from his father. If his father would give it to him, he probably spent hours thinking about all that he could do and the investments that he would make. Yet, when he went and ended up partying and it was all gone, he found he was worse off than he had been before he had received the money. He said, you know, my father's servants are better off than I am right now. What am I doing here? Wanting and collecting things that you hope will fulfill you is not only exhausting, but in time, it will all end up being meaningless anyway. Someone asked this question, why do we spend so much time and energy acquiring the stuff of future garage sales? Yeah, that's funny, but you know, how long do you keep the stuff before eventually it just starts going to Goodwill or garage sales or is broken? A dad took his children on a tour of Elvis Presley's Graceland estate. And Elvis was a music star who had accumulated many outstanding things in his day. As they looked in his car, he even had a mobile phone and a TV in there. Yet the kids weren't that impressed. They remarked that they could do more on their phones and they could watch DVDs in their TV in their car. The shine of Elvis's treasures were gone. Greed is foolish because money doesn't last. The things you buy with money doesn't last. That's why Jesus said, put your energy into saving up heavenly treasures, which won't rust or get stolen. Matthew chapter 6, 19 to 21. Greed is foolish because money doesn't last. And secondly, greed is foolish because it hurts you and those around you. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 27 says, greedy people bring trouble to their families, but the person who can't be paid to do wrong will live. It's a New Century Translation. In the Old Testament, in Joshua 7, we read of Achan. Achan's greed for the treasures of Jericho destroyed himself, his family, and cost the lives of 36 soldiers. Greed leads people to care more about acquiring status and wealth than the effects their choices will have on them and their families. Even if nothing illegal is being done, chasing the almighty dollar takes away from building lasting relationships with your family. The children may have all the stuff that they want, but in the end, what they need are their parents. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 and 25 in the NIV translation says this: one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Drink a cold water in my name. People curse the one who hoards grain, but they pray God's blessing on the one who is willing to sell. But you know, if you'd wait a little longer, you could make more. No. Proverbs 11, 24 to 26. God blesses our generosity, but greed hardens us to the needs of others. We fear that we will have less if we give some of our stuff away. Yet God has given us everything that we have. It's His. We are to be the stewards of it. And He is pleased when we help those in need, because in addition to helping them, we are showing that we trust God to look after our needs as well. So we're not afraid to give some of it away when it's needed somewhere else, because we know God will look after us. Listen to the investment promise given in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. This is from the Message translation. Mercy to the needy is a loan to God, and God pays those loans in full. How about that for a promise? Mercy to the needy is a loan to God, and God pays back those loans in full. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 19, the Lord told His people not to be stingy, and if they weren't, He would bless their work. The NIV translation says, when you are harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get it. Leave it for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. Deuteronomy 24, 19. Greed is foolish, because the things we are dedicating our lives to won't last. And at the same time, we are hurting ourselves and those around us by being consumed by our greed. Now, a third reason to reject greed is that greed is dangerous because it demonstrates unbelief. Greed is dangerous because it demonstrates unbelief. David Aiken, in his commentary, says, greed is trusting in and finding happiness in money rather than in God. The problem is not wealth, but rather our attitude towards it. Greed is trusting in and finding happiness in money rather than God. The problem is not wealth, but rather our attitude towards it. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 28 in the Good News Bible says, those who depend on their wealth will fall like the leaves of autumn, but the righteous will prosper like the leaves of summer. They're not dropping their leaves. And it reminds us of Proverbs chapter 1, of the righteous being like a tree planted by a stream, who bears fruit, and the leaves are flourishing. That's the image we get here. We need to check ourselves and ask, what is my attitude towards wealth? Am I placing my trust and happiness in it rather than God? God's not telling us it's bad to have money or bad to save. Proverbs tells us many times that God blesses with financial means the righteous. That's not bad. But where am I placing my trust and happiness? Is it in the money or is it in God? Aikens goes on in this commentary to say, if your joy is determined by your money and possessions, you are falsely worshiping something other than God. If you are constantly anxious about provision, it reveals that you believe you need something other than God to be happy. When money and stuff are seen as a path to a happy life, you are in idolatry. Jesus says that you cannot serve both God and money. And that's from Matthew 26:24, where Jesus says that. That's the end of the quote from Aikens. Those who are greedy do not trust God. They trust in something other than Jesus. That is why Jesus said it was hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Now, why is that? It's because the rich, those who have abundance, and we are among them, do not see their need for God because they can provide for their own needs. The question, though, is how long will that last? Even if you have enough for a lifetime, money will not get you into God's kingdom. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 4 says, riches won't help on the day of judgment, but right living can save you from death. The New Living Translation. Now, the solution to greed is believing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. The problem is not money. It is trusting in money, loving money, devoting our lives to money, rather than submitting ourselves to the plans of the Lord God. The Apostle Paul warns in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, but people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 10 from the New Living Translation. Satan tempted Jesus with the things of this world. Remember when he was in the wilderness? While tempting him in the wilderness, he offered him the kingdoms of this world if Jesus would just worship him. Aitken writes, Jesus refused the fleeting pleasures of this life so that he could enjoy eternal ones. He knew what we do not seem to understand. Our cravings will never be satisfied in this life. Man does not live by bread or flat-screen TV alone. He lives by God alone. After Jesus' death and resurrection, he stood before his disciples, and he could then say, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's Matthew 28. The second half of verse 18. God the Father had blessed Jesus' faithful obedience. Proverbs 11:28 says, a life devoted to things is a dead life, a stump. A God-shaped life is a flourishing tree. It's from the Message. The antidote to greed is to put your trust in God and believe that he loves you and will never abandon you. Just look at what he did for you on the cross. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Then he goes on, so we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The NIV. Jesus left his throne in heaven and all that came with it to save you from your sins. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. Follow the example of your Lord Jesus and live generous lives. You do not need to be rich to be generous. Just thankful people who trust in a generous God. Thank you, Lord. Don't be obsessed with getting more material things. Be relaxed with what you have. Since God has assured us, I'll never let you down, never walk off and leave you, we can boldly quote, God is there, ready to help. I'm fearless, no matter what. Who or what can get to me? Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 from the Message translation. Thank you, Lord. Now for a benediction, let me read from Acts 20, verse 32. Now I'm putting you in the care of God, and the message about his grace, it is able to give you strength, and it will give you the blessings God has for all his holy people. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. Walk in faith in the Lord God that he is looking after you, and be open to opportunities to be generous with what he's given you. Amen.